Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast. Voice note. Pimelo Mutine on WhatsApp.
063-688-0959.
Point of View.
Keep connected with us.
Kaya959.
On the street.
On the air.
While we're on that, I'm sure many of you will identify with this. Well, I've certainly seen it. Obviously, leaving work at night, that they just aren't enough street lights that are on. Folks, street lights are not working at night. And so, ward councillor in Krugersdorp around the R563 road in the West Rand, Gwen Blitz, has been raising alarms, saying since February, there have been about 10 accidents in an area where there is this growing sinkhole. But she says the problem there is also that when people drive at night, street lights are not working. And so obviously they find themselves in this really terrible situation where they cause accidents because of the sinkhole. On the line with us is Member of Provincial Legislature, Human Settlement, Transport and Logistics, Everett Du Plessis. Just to paint a picture for us, and then we also have the MEC spokesperson of Roads and Transport in the province, Lisibe Mpia, just to give us a sense of what the plan is to try and rectify that issue there. Let's start with Mr. Du Plessis. Good evening and welcome. Thank you so much for your time.
Good evening, and thank you for this opportunity.
Just maybe, you know, paint the picture for us, please, will you, Mr. Du Plessis, and tell us, you know, how big is the sinkhole so far?
Well, the problem is that this sinkhole already appeared in February of this year, and the department was alluded to this problem, and apparently I didn't see the hole when it just started. It was not as big, but now it has really grown. I think it's about 20 meters in diameter. Mm-hmm. So yes, quite a big sinkhole. We can't really fathom the depth of it because it's still full of grass. Mm-hmm. I know they did a visual assessment yesterday at the apartment. It was understood that it might have been caused by water, the flow of water in that area. But yes, it really has got lead to fatalities in that area, and there is not enough lighting on because it's just outside of town in the rural area, and we need intervention on that sinkhole as soon as possible.
How much does it creep actually into the road?
Well, it looks like it's about a meter and a half to 2 meters.
Into the road.
It creeps into the tar surface of the road.
Sure. And I mean, you know, one of the councillors there is saying since Feb, they've seen 10 accidents. Are you able to verify that?
The accidents I'm not able to verify. I know that we were there today, and last night there was an accident where a taxi actually had an accident there. Luckily, there wasn't any passengers on the taxi, but I can confirm that there was an accident yesterday which a taxi was involved in.
Has this been brought to legislature?
Like I said, we did the oversight today. We are busy with the questions. I know that the department knows about the problem, and they have been there to assess. But we will now take it up to legislature, to both the committees as well as the MEC and to the House itself.
Okay, so this is what's happening currently. Had it come before any committee before?
No, it hasn't. We have been, like I said, the council alluded to me to the problem, and okay. we set up today's oversight visit.
Got you.
And now we'll be taking it forward from here.
All right. I want to just maybe stay. I'm going to ask you to stay on the line and bring in the spokesperson of the MEC of Roads and Transport in Gauteng, Lisibe Mpia, maybe just to give us their perspective of what they believe is happening there. Thank you very much, Mr. Mpia, and good evening and welcome.
Good evening to you, to yourself, Pimelo, and to the KFM listeners. Let me also greet Honorable Dupe. Good evening.
Mr. Mpia, are you aware of the sinkhole? Is the department aware of the sinkhole?
Yes, we're quite aware. As a matter of fact, as the member Du Plessis says, that it is a sinkhole that started to form it in as far back as February. The most unfortunate thing is that when we did our visual assessment, it was in the period where there were also, you know, heavy rains, and which would have exacerbated to the depth of that particular sinkhole. We have been doing visual assessment. The issue is that the sinkhole would then have to have a technical assessment done by a geotechnical specialist. We have brought about the Council of Geoscience to assist in the process, and we have formulated a collaborative effort between ourselves as a provincial government, together with the local municipalities, and together with private sector to assist and actually expedite the repair of that particular sinkhole and restore it to its normality.
Okay, so I'm not sure I understand. Has the technical assessment been done yet, or is it still going to be done?
No, the technical assessment has commenced. It's currently underway. We have been doing our own visual assessment. We have the Council of Geoscience on board to actually do the technical assessment. It has commenced. So that would then assist us into being able to then ensure that we are able to communicate the duration at which we are going to repair the potholes, including the costs that are associated to the restoration of that road.
When did the technical assessment begin?
So as I say, conversations are underway. The technical assessment has begun. It is done by the Council of Geoscience together with the with assistance from the Cradle of Humankind.
I understand that. I'm saying, when did they begin?
What we are unable to communicate at this current moment is the certainty in terms of the commencement of construction work. That we can't at this stage commit to a timeline. However, immediately after the technical assessment, once the technical assessment is completed, and the department has received a completion of that technical assessment, will be then to determine the actual timeline and the cost associated.
Except that, when did the technical assessment begin?
It began early in the week. As soon as Monday, the team started meeting. And as the councillor would have, as member Duplessis would have said that even yesterday there was visual assessment done by the department. So the actual work actually commenced in this current week.
So this sinkhole, you've been doing visual assessment since Feb, and a technical assessment begins only this past week.
Yes. Look, what we have the difficulty of in the department is the geotechnical skills or the geotechnical expertise. We usually source it out. The issue is that we are currently in the process of completing procurement of professional service providers. So we did not have the actual capacity of conducting geotechnical expertise on sinkholes. That's where we are. That is what would have delayed. But we have been doing a traffic accommodation around the area, and that is why we are saying we are fully aware that there is that sinkhole. But we can confirm confidently that the work to respond to the restoration of that road is currently underway. Yes, we do admit it has taken long. However, we're confidently communicating that the work has started.
So what provisions have you made to make sure that, you know, at least people can avoid accidents that we have been hearing about? If we are hearing that there aren't even lights, what provisions have you made to at least secure the site so that, you know, people don't find themselves in the kind of scenario where we have 10 accidents since Feb?
Yeah, look, Pimelo, it's quite difficult for us because the actual action that has got to be done is to see boots on the ground. We are currently waiting for a process. So we want to appeal.
What do you mean by that?
Let's give
when you say boots?
So what I mean by that is that the desired outcome is to say that as soon as tomorrow we see actual workmanship on the ground restoring that particular sinkhole. That's what I mean. I mean, human resources and resources being deployed mm-hmm. in that particular area. But because of the process flow, it demands of us to actually do, comprehensive geotechnical studies, assessment, and ultimately come out with a conclusive geotechnical report.
Yeah.
But also we have been doing traffic accommodation. So, and that simply means that in the instance where we make a determination that the road cannot be usable, and we do know that the road is quite dark. However, in the instance where we feel, in terms of the technical expertise that we would have deployed, we can be in a position of actually cordoning off the road, communicating to the motorist to use alternative roads. At this current stage, ours is to actually appeal to the motorist to exercise caution, but we are doing traffic accommodation in that particular space.
What does traffic accommodation look like if you're not cordoning off the road?
As the member would have said, that in terms of his visual assessment today, quite a huge portion of that road has been, has caved in. So there is a portion of road that is usable. The shoulder part of the road has caved in. So that simply means that we put protective signage to ensure that motorists do not are quite observant of the danger ahead. That's what we mean by traffic accommodation, and that is why we're making an appeal to the motorists to actually exercise caution. We have communicated as from February on the pothole, and that is why we say we are fully aware of it. Most unfortunately, in the construction space, if the weather conditions are not favorable, it becomes very difficult to have a quicker turnaround time in terms of the repairing, whether you're constructing, maintaining a road, or actually responding to a sinkhole in this instance. And part of the investigations that we're doing is whether or not part of what exacerbates that sinkhole could be leaking or decaying infrastructure underneath. But what we have currently is a sinkhole, which is, worsening day by day. But we can confidently say that that work is underway, and we are going to be concluding the feasibilities as well as the pre-planning around it, and ultimately go to construction.
And one appreciates, Mr. Mpia, all that you've just told us about procurement issues and the capacity of the department not having the right skills. But I don't see how that links to us preventing more deaths. Or, I don't know whether these are deaths, but 10 accidents is a lot. Meaning whatever it is that you are saying is your traffic accommodation mechanism is not working. So what's so difficult about that? So let's start with just lighting the street. Why can't that happen? That doesn't need a geoscience technical expertise.
Yeah. No, you're quite right. We are also informed that in the area there's an activity, underground activity of illegal mining. We're informed of that, and that then gives an indication that infrastructure or road furniture in the area is under threat, particularly the copper around the area. We have been given a report that because of the importance of the cradle of humankind, there has been restoration of those street lights a number of times. However, we experienced vandalism, theft of that copper, and that is why we are ending up with a very dark road, and which is most unfortunate. And I do agree that part of our preventative initiatives would have also to be continuous law enforcement patrol in the area. And I think that I can confidently or say that that's where, as government, we're dropping the ball. However, we are confronted with these other, factoring issues, such as destruction of our property there.
Do we need to procure cordoning off the road?
Yes, I'm not an expert myself, but the experts would say that at this current juncture, we are not at the phase where the road has got to be completely cordoned off. The road can still be utilized, however, exercising caution, ensuring that the relevant signage is there for motorists to be alert. Yes, we could reach that stage at a given time, but currently, our resident engineers in the department have not yet given us, whatever necessitates that action at this current moment.
Okay. Do you feel you've got enough and adequate signage on the road to protect lives?
Well, we believe that it's sufficient, and I think Member Dupe will most probably be the best person suited to pose questions to the MEC in terms of his experiences. But I think in terms of what the department is doing in the interim, whilst we are waiting for processes to unfold, we have done what we could in terms of making sure that there is sufficient signage in that stretch of road.
Please help me understand. What just maybe because I'm not there and I haven't seen it. What signage have you got up? What do you have there?
So we have signage that warns motorists.
What does it look like? Is it a cone? Is it an orange cone? Is it an arrow? What is it?
Yeah. No. It's road signage. Those chevrons that literally beam at night. You have chevrons that warn motorists to slow down, mm-hmm. Warning them of imminent danger ahead. Mm-hmm. You have cordoned off with those reflective. I just lost the terminology. Sure. But those particular barricades that we put on when there is a construction site.
Okay.
So there is signage. It just demands motorists to be more vigilant.
But clearly, it's not effective. If the kind of accidents that we are told of keep recurring.
Yeah.
So there needs to be an assessment on whether whatever measures you're putting in place are effective, and clearly they're not.
Yeah, look, Pamela, I think in terms of the recent reports, most probably you'd have read the minister's report that part of what contributes to accidents, a key factor of it, is human behavior. We are not apportioning.
Mr. Ampia.
No. We are not apportioning blame to motorists.
I think it's a little bit disingenuous what you're doing now. I think people have heard the minister, and we take time here to report on behavior and deal with that. And I think this is not. I'm not sure that right now what you are telling me is appropriate, because you've given me all the reasons why we are unable to fix this road. And I've given you plenty of time to explain that. But I think for you to now, pivot to telling us about road, drivers' behavior, I think right now I'm not sure it's appropriate. I think we've done enough and seen enough of what's not being done on the side of your department for you to take a little bit of responsibility and maybe wait for a bit before you start pushing blame on motorists right now?
Yes, look, I did say that we do take responsibility in terms of the delays of the route. I think we're conversing here, and I think you can agree to the fact that we are not absolving government here, particularly on the processes that would have led to the delay. We did apportion also the fact that there's capacity issues, and that is why we are relying on technical expertise in terms of executing the geotechnical assessments in the area. We are not apportioning blame there.
Sure.
But and this is not a justification to whether or not we have sufficient signage. I did say that as a department, we have put signage in the area, and we do take note that there has been accidents in the area. And I did say that we are not apportioning blame to motorists. As an instance, we do take responsibility of the fact that the road is dark. I would have indicated on what could be also the contributing factors. I have indicated what has been done to try and lighten the area in the previous instance, due to the fact that we have a World Heritage site. So we have done all we could. However, because of the delays, the problems are mounting. That's the position of the department.
I know that you've said that you can't commit to a commencement date of the work. Can and have the geoscientists at least given you a sense of when they'll complete the assessment?
Well, we don't have an indication as yet. As I've said, that the work of assessing has started this week. So we do not at this stage have a completion date. We do have a commencement date. Most unfortunately, we do not have a completion. However, we are acting with urgency, given the fact that, the community has reported several accidents happening in the area. We also want to ensure that we restore the quality of road, because that is a very key economic or tourist aspect, by Gauteng. So to us, it's quite a priority. We are not playing the fiddle. We are not playing games in that particular end.
Yeah.
However, we have been affected by unforeseen circumstances, such as the heavy rainfall, the torrential rains that happened early in the year, that would have delayed us, repairing that sinkhole.
May I just so that we can conclude on the same page? For now, we've got the geotechnical assessment that's currently underway. And you also told me about some of the reasons why we have disruption in lighting of the area. With regards to the lighting of the area and the reasons you've given me, or possible reasons you've given me behind that, does it mean what happens that with that issue? Is there a plan? Is there what? How do we move forward in dealing with lighting the area, whether the sinkhole gets repaired tomorrow or not?
Our priority is to attend to the sinkhole, and our priority is also ensuring that we have a road that is motorist friendly and usable. That means that motorists cannot use a dark road. So lighting the area is also quite a priority. We would have spent money where it was not planned to be spent, which is restoring copper, restoring the lighting of those lights continuously. I think that we are appealing to the public to bear with us, because resources have been depleted. If we are to restore those lights and they continuously vandalized, or copper is continuously stolen. So we want to appeal to the public to bear with us to actually, repair that particular sinkhole together with our stakeholders, the private sector and the local municipality, Yeah, together with the Council of Pure Science and the Cradle. And I think that's what takes priority at the current moment. And we would like to paint a beautiful flowery picture, you know, but we do not want to come here to mislead the public. I think that once we have repaired that sinkhole, we'll then restore the lighting in the area and have mechanism of monitoring and patrolling and policing that particular area, because it falls vulnerable to it is prey to criminality, and that can't continue moving forward.
So that mechanism, why doesn't it kick in right now of protecting the area?
Yes, we have been engaging our sister departments, community safety and police. That is why I said that we admit that where we are dropping the ball is on the law enforcement, on the law enforcement aspect. We are dropping the ball there. We have acknowledged and admitted that particular guilt as government. But you'd know that as government, we have shared responsibility. We do not have the function of policing as a department, but we have engaged both the police service as well as the Gauteng community safety. And we just need to check up a plan to ensure that that area is continuously monitored, even beyond the repairing of the sinkhole.
Yeah, I mean, I remember that there was an MOU signed between the Minister of Police and the Premier. Are you saying that we're still working on a new plan to try and secure things like this area, or just maybe give us a sense of where does this fit in?
Yeah, that MOU, maybe I'm not sure about the Minister, but I know that the Premier signed an MOU with the local municipalities, and that MOU is that a law enforcement aspect.
Yes.
We must be able to then keep out, you know, keep tabs on the functionality of that MOU, because if it fails to function or integrate, that is why we'll end up having to spend money on, you know, robots that are continuously not working or lights that are continuously out.
So. There was an MOU signed between the National Police and the Premier. That's a fact. Are you saying that you are not aware of that part?
No. I am aware. But I'm just saying what would have come into effect of recent is an MOU between the Minister and the Premier and municipalities. In addition to that, I'm quite aware of that MOU. I'm not saying I'm not aware, but I'm saying to make matters, to actually try and to check up the service of law enforcement. Premier as well would have signed an MOU with local municipalities to increase the effectiveness of law enforcement.
My question was, you know, how far are we from seeing it actually come alive and being effective?
Yeah, look, Auspimelo, I wish I could respond to that, but we are saying that we are raising the issue of law enforcement in the area, and I've admitted that it is where we are dropping the ball as government. The aspect of ensuring that we push back the frontier of criminality in the area.
Appreciate your time there. Spokesperson of MEC of Roads and Transport in Gauteng, Lisiba Mpia. And before we started that conversation, we were speaking to member of the provincial legislature, Human Settlement, Transport and Logistics, Everett Duplessis.
Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.